sowing the seeds of cannabis and sounding the praise of our favorite plant, it's time to Hemp Present. Our radio resident Hempo Sapien, Vivian McPeak, will present a weekly platform for guests and listeners to Hemp Present about hemp and cannabis from the legal, activist, and reformist route. Let's round up and roll it up for our headmaster of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
Welcome to the Hemp Present Resistance, the weekly radio podcast where you can fill your knowledge void of cannabinoids and get your PhD in THC and CBD because you don't just want to burn it, you want to learn it. Seeking to defeat the alternative facts of prohibition one interview at a time and advocating for the plant, the whole plant, and nothing but the plant. Join me for a weekly reefer radio rebellion against prohibition as I speak with some of the principal risk takers, movers and shakers, and history makers of the cannabis industry, culture, and reform movement. I'm your host, Vivian McPeak. I am the executive director of the world's largest annual cannabis policy reform event, the Seattle Hemp Fest, speaking flower to power for 28 years and found at hempfest.org. I'm also the author of the book, Protestable, a 20-year retrospective of Seattle Hemp Fest from AHA Publishing, also found at hempfest.org. Today's guest on Hemp Present is cannabis entrepreneur Edward Weidenfeld. Ed Weidenfeld is a graduate of the University of Wisconsin and Columbia University School of Law. He was a senior partner at a major international law firm where he specialized in corporate transactions and administrative law before founding his eponymous firm, the Weidenfeld Law Firm. Mr. Weidenfeld has been appointed to high-level boards and commissions under six presidential administrations, most recently serving as chairman of the Board of Visitors of the National Defense University. He's a lifetime member of the American Law Institute and a senior fellow of the Administrative Conference of the United States. Mr. Weidenfeld became a supporter of medical cannabis after he was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. He was national chairman of the Parkinson's Action Network, which is now part of the Michael J. Fox Foundation. And I'm very honored to have him with me today. Welcome, Ed, to Cannabis Radio.
Vivian, it's good to be with you. And certainly your distinguished career may have been better spent than mine.
Well, thank you so much. I'm not sure about that, Ed, but I appreciate that. You were at one time general counsel to Ronald Reagan's 1980 presidential campaign. Your wife served as First Lady Betty Ford's press secretary. You were at the time fully on board with Nancy Reagan's Just Say No campaign. But after you received a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease, you tried treating the symptoms of Parkinson's with cannabis. What did you find cannabis to do for you when you started taking the herb medicinally?
I found that it has a series of healing powers that is undeniable, and that the prohibition movement had really been very little more than an attempt to control recalcitrant minority members in selective enforcement of the law.
Go ahead.
That leaves the question open as to when I found out and how I found out. And indeed, the Parkinson's led me to approach cannabis as a healing drug rather than the gateway to an uncertain future of addiction, which was the stereotype that I was receiving.
You feel that cannabis could be a gateway to economic vitality for America in some degree?
Absolutely. But long before you reach the argument of the economic benefit to society of cannabis, you reach the argument this is a benign substance that has undeniable therapeutic effects. It's a great anti-inflammatory, which relieves the pain that opiates treat. I'm not saying there is a one-for-one substitution, but there is a much, much higher percentage of opioid addicts who would make marijuana their alternative. For me, there are also psychic effects from the night terror dreams to anxiety that is relieved by in the District of Columbia, we think our cannabis, our district cannabis is in certain strains that combine CBD and THC relieves the psychic anxiety without a hangover the next day.
Ed, I want to get into your, I want to talk about your cannabis production, your cultivation efforts. But first, you previously called cannabis a wonder drug. What would you say to somebody who's also dealing with Parkinson's disease that might be listening right now, but has reservations about using cannabis to treat your condition, their condition? What would your message to them be?
Absolutely honor your reservation. No drug works that you don't believe in. I shouldn't say no drug, but very few drugs. You have to have some faith in method of treatment you're approaching. Secondly, I would tell them, as I was told, don't do anything to make a bad condition worse. Don't take marijuana that you buy from a friend of a friend, and when you ask what strain it is, you get a shrug of the shoulders. I don't know, Acapulco Gold, I guess. You've got to buy from someone that respects the healing power of the plant and maintains herbal quality growing throughout their facility, and you certainly don't buy anything outdoors that has the potential of being treated with rodenticides, pesticides, and so forth.
It sounds like you're talking about choose medical grade cannabis. And let's talk about growing cannabis. You co-founded both Phyto Management, a licensed cannabis producer in Washington, D.C., as well as Maryland Process and Cultivation, which I assume is in the state of Maryland. Can you tell us a little bit about those operations you have?
Yes, Phyto, which produces under the brand District Cannabis, DC Cannabis, is the premier. And I know everyone thinks their dog is the best and their baby is the best, but our weed is the best in the market.
Nice.
We produce a variety of product that's probably not out of the ordinary in Washington. But for example, we produce most exquisite bud. We produce pre-rolls, cartridges, suppositories, lubricants, salves, pills. I'm trying to think of lozenges, candies, so that patients under the tongue droplets, so that we offer the patient a number of ways of ingesting suppositories. We offer a number of products, all of connoisseur or comparable quality, because we went in this My partner, by the way, is a horticulturalist who believes that you listen to your plants as well as tune them up with the very latest individual plant sensors so that each plant gets exactly the same light, nutrient, airflow, and produces a plant product that provides consistent results time after time after time.
And Ed, we need to listen to a word from our sponsors and advertisers now. I'm speaking with Ed Weidenfeld. We're going to take a quick pause, hear a word from our sponsors, and be right back for our second segment.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
In 2018, the National Cannabis Industry Association saw a 60% increase in congressional co-sponsorship of their priority legislation, the federal legalization of hemp, as well as the election of a new Congress expected to be more cannabis-friendly. NCIA will host our 9th annual Cannabis Industry Lobby Days, May 21st through 23rd in Washington, D.C. Join in. Advocate for our industry and forge a unified front with the industry's most politically engaged leaders. NCIA members from across the country descend on Capitol Hill for our annual Lobby Days event to tell their stories and advocate for federal reforms needed for our industry to reach its full potential. Make your plans now to be at the National Cannabis Industry Association's 9th annual Cannabis Industry Lobby Days in Washington, D.C. Register for Lobby Days and learn how NCIA works to advance the cannabis industry's policy agenda every day at www.thecannabisindustry.org/lobbydays2019.
Hey, take a look at this. They're selling smart pots.
They have pot that can make you smart? Where is it?
Not that kind of pot. Smart pots are the best aeration container to grow your plants. Check this out. This is the original fabric container for faster producing, healthier plants. They're made with a superior fabric that delivers high yields. Plus, smart pots are reusable and sustainable, so you can use them over and over again, no matter if you use them indoor or outdoor.
That's very smart, but how good are they for the environment?
Smart pots are BPA-free and lead-free, so you'll always be able to ensure a pure, clean grow, and they're 100% made in the U.S. Over 28 million smart pots have already been sold. So it seems like a smart investment.
Look for smart pots in close to 2,000 garden centers throughout North America and ask for the original fabric container. Find a store near you or order yours online at smartpots.com. Now available for pre-order through crowdfunding for just $14 plus $10 shipping. Pouches, premium mixing and rolling pouches allow you to carry and prepare your herbs for consumption with discretion and ease. These stylish pouches are handcrafted using strong zips, long-wearing buffalo leather outside, and smooth sheepskin inside. A portion of proceeds go to fund vital medical research into cannabis for ADHD. See a demo and get yours now on Indiegogo or pouches.com. That's P-O-U-C-H-Z.com.
We're back to Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio. Now, back to our headstrong Hemperer of Hemp, Vivian McPeak.
We're back on Cannabis Radio with Ed Weidenfeld. Ed, you have said that your work with cannabis has given you a feeling that you haven't experienced since 1964, when you participated in the Selma to Montgomery March during the Civil Rights Movement, and that cannabis is a basic right and liberty. Can you explain what you meant by those statements?
There is more to cannabis than its powers as a medicine. It was used to fill a private prison network with recalcitrant minority members who rubbed a cop the wrong way sometimes. That is an injustice, as was the way the law was selectively enforced. There, much of my career has been involved with fighting for social justice and personal freedom. The fight against cannabis is a fight against the injustice that we just talked about, and it feels good to be fighting for a better world for my kids and grandkids.
I certainly agree with all of that. Can I ask, Ed, how have your lawyer colleagues reacted to the fact that you, a formerly straight-laced conservative, is now a pot grower? What's the overall reaction been from your former associates? Are they worried that you're turning into a hippie?
One of them calls me Shorty, and I really wonder if some of them don't think I'm a little nuts, but they all know, and they all call when someone comes down with a condition that medical cannabis may benefit.
So the tide's turning. They're starting to become aware.
The tide is turning. They're not getting their medical cards. They're still losing security clearances, but they have the satisfaction of being on the right side at the right time of an issue that is clearly the right kind of issue to be behind and the right time to be supporting it. The fight's a long way from over.
Yeah, that's
we're close to the tipping point, I think.
And I think that the most recent polling shows that even among Republicans, there's a majority of Republicans now that believe that cannabis should be federally legalized. Speaking of that, Ed, the current 280E IRS tax code does not allow for standard business tax deductions for cannabis businesses, making banking and credit really problematic, if not impossible. And the designation of cannabis as Schedule I narcotic in the Controlled Substances Act means that anyone involved in its production or sale, even in legal states, risks possible prosecution and incarceration. We're currently in the Trump administration, which is chaotic at best and virtually unpredictable in terms of policy positions. Does that give you any pause, and are you optimistic that cannabis will be federally legalized anytime soon?
Look, until it's done, you're dealing with conflicting legal systems with a clear illegal substance at the federal level and the same kind of problems in many states still. So in this business, you're making a statement, and part of that statement is you believe the American people will do the right thing. But there are many ways to kill this nascent business. 280E is one of them, as you had alluded to a minute ago. And in the immortal words of the great shortstop Leo Durocher, people are funny things to bet on.
Right. And I think it's Winston Churchill that said America will do the right thing after it's tried every other route. I'm wondering, are there any specific strains of cannabis that you find work best for your symptoms, and any select strains that you intend to produce?
That's a very good question. Different strains have had effects on me at different points in the advancement of the disease. I think our strains that we're now diluting the THC, titrating the THC with CBD is making some interesting combinations that they're also working on with tissue culture. But I would have to say my favorite therapeutic way of inhaling it, or not inhaling, but my favorite therapeutic way of ingesting it is with a dropper from a tincture bottle, measure out half the dropper, and I get a good night's sleep with relief from the muscle cramping that occurs throughout the night.
Well, that's fascinating. There are a lot of delivery methods that people can choose from, and you listed a bunch of them just making the products that you make. My guest is Ed Weidenfeld, and we're going to take another break here. Pause for the cause, because there's flaws in the laws. And hear a word from our sponsors and advertisers. Come back with our final questions, so don't go anywhere.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
The National Cannabis Industry Association's 6th Annual Cannabis Business Summit and Expo returns to San Jose, California's McInerney Convention Center, July 22nd through the 24th. Register today at CannabisBusinessSummit.com and take part in the most influential, award-winning cannabis conference and trade show hosted by the cannabis industry's only national trade association. NCIA's Cannabis Business Summit and Expo offers attendees 3 days of engagement and interactive programs. Arrive early so you can participate in our pre-conference workshops and off-site tours. Join hundreds upon hundreds of exhibitors and thousands upon thousands of attendees at NCIA's 6th Annual Cannabis Business Summit and Expo, July 22nd through the 24th in San Jose, California. Register today at CannabisBusinessSummit.com. That's CannabisBusinessSummit.com.
Educate, empower, and engage in the evolution of the cannabis industry. Join thousands of industry professionals on August 3rd and 4th in Miami, Florida for the return of the U.S. Cannabis Conference and Expo inside the Hyatt Regency in downtown Miami. Register before May 1st for an early bird discount of 50% off now at usccexpo.com. That's usccexpo.com. Join us for the 2019 U.S. Cannabis Conference and Expo August 3rd and 4th in Miami. Register now at usccexpo.com.
Oh, let the marijuana llama tell you something now. About a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seeds, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put the big celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Hemping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot proved by the man who run High Times. Oh yeah, get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me on crap, you know. Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
We're back to Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio. Now, back to our headstrong emperor of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
We're back for our final questions with Ed Weidenfeld. Ed, on the break, you said you might have a question for me. Do you?
Because we have the impression that Washington State is part of the Wild West, that anybody can get a license, anybody can sell, and the land is the land of milk and honey. How do you respond to that character or those characterizations?
Well, as far as, well, Ed, first of all, we're talking about Washington State, not Washington, D.C., where you're at. As far as it being the Wild West, I got my six guns hanging off my sides, my chaps. That's not an accurate depiction at all. We actually have a licensing system here in Washington State under I-502, the law that made cannabis a commodity here, legal commodity in the state. And so you've got to get a license, and then you have to be able to afford, meaning all the regulatory stuff and put that all together.
Is it true anybody can get a license?
No. Not now, because most of the licenses have already been issued. There was a cap that our legislature put on them. But we didn't have, but it wasn't done on a merit system. It was done on a lottery mistake.
You say that was a mistake?
Yes, we think it should have been done on a merit system rather than a lottery system, because there were some good businesses that got shut down that were medical providers that got shut down in place for the recreational, and they weren't allowed to fold over. And many of us activist types thought that that was a mistake for the medical community.
That was, from my perspective, critical that people be in the business who really understand the science of cultivating marijuana and understand something of the human body.
I agree. What we have now is a lot of people racing to the industry because they want to make a lot of money, not necessarily because they have a history or understanding or belief in cannabis. And that seems that's both good and bad, because they're bringing money with them that's needed, but they don't always share the same passion for the plant.
They don't share the values, and those are the very people who will be quick to use pesticides and rodenticides and other treatments that are legal but of questionable harm to the body. That's where you really separate the ethical, respectful dealer. Nobody is making money now, and the people who thought they would are waking up to the fact that it's still going to be a while to build. And under this tax law, you pay confiscatory taxes whether you earn anything or not. But yep, one day, it's going to be every bit as much a business as an employer and a national boon.
I agree, Ed, and we're going to have to leave it there. Ed Weidenfield, I have so much respect for you. Thank you so much for being on the show. It was an honor. And I certainly wish you nothing but the best of luck with all your important activities that you're involved in, Ed.
Well, the honor is mine, and keep on trucking.
You can count on that, my brother. You take care.
Thanks again.
Now I'm going to get to a weekly feature, HemperZone on CannabisRadar.com. That's the quote of the week, and here it is, and I quote, "The ultimate ignorance is the rejection of something you know nothing about, yet refuse to investigate," and that's Dr. Wayne Dwyer. That concludes this installment of HemperZone on Cannabis Radio. I want to thank Brasco, my man in the control room, all the Cannabis Radio sponsors and advertisers. Join me next week for some more reefer repartee and cannabis confabulation with some special Hempo Sapien on a journey to justice as we silence the violence, increase the peace, promote unity in the cannabis community with impunity. Because when it comes to prohibition, you've got the right not to remain silent. Activism requires a voice. Find your voice, speak up for justice, because resistance is fertile. Until then, my friends, stay strong, stand tall, toke it easy. Don't forget to email me at hempresent@gmail.com. The HempZen theme song, Take Back the Plants, performed by Sticker Bush and sung by a much younger version of myself. Turn up the music, maestro. I'm out. Marijuana!
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without proper consent of CannabisRadio.com is prohibited.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.